Beis, and we've been talking the last couple of weeks about the first Mishnah in the fourth Perek, Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. What is one supposed to do when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? And here we have our Mishnah describes that in the Beis HaMikdash, or in perhaps the old city of Yerushalayim, which is considered a part of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to blow the shofar even on Shabbos. However, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or outside of that part of Yerushalayim, they would refrain from blowing the shofar on Shabbos. And then we read the Gemara that the reason why is because of Gzeira Midrabbanan. The Gzeira Midrabbanan is, we're concerned, Shema Yavirenu Daladamas Pershus HaRabim. We're concerned maybe you're not going to remember exactly how to blow the shofar, and then you're going to go on Shabbos, and you're going to carry the shofar to the expert, Baltokei, and you're going to go and try and ask him to teach you how to blow the shofar. So we spoke about the controversy about Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger, who wanted to reinstitute this idea of blowing shofar in Yerushalayim. That was last time we met, but now what we're going to talk about is one of my favorite inyanim. The reason it's one of my favorites is not just because it's a very geschmacka topic, and not because it's just very juicy, and there's a lot of ways to go from here, but also because this was the first conversation and learning I ever had with Rav Asher Weiss was about this, and it was later subsequently printed. Most of that conversation was printed, and I'm very excited to share it with all of you because it excited me very much. So this is when I got very much sold on him. So you'll see why. So let's begin like this. Just by way of introduction to tonight's shiur about, again, we're still on the topic of Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, we're just focusing in on one part of it. So by way of introduction, we have a Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. One of the Aseres HaDibros is, we have an obligation to be Mekadish es HaShabbos. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Zachreyu Alayayin B'Knisah. So we have an obligation to remember the Shabbos, B'Knisah, so as it comes in, and to make mention of the fact that Shabbos is unique. Ein Li Ela B'Layla, says the Gemara, that only means you have to make Kiddush at night, because B'Knisah, so with Shabbos being ushered in, with my saying the Kiddush, that's how I'm mekayim the mitzvah of Zachar es Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. That's being mekadish the yom. However, by yom minayin, how do I know I have to say kiddush during the daytime as well? Shabbos is already up and running. Doesn't need me to make it any more holy. Tamar lomar, the pasuk says, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos. So the Gemara learns out that we have to make kiddush Friday night. We also have to make kiddush Shabbos. However, in the hemshech of the Gemara there, we learn that our mitzvah min haTorah, our biblical obligation of kiddush, is only to be mekadish b'dvarim. It's good enough if we say it, something special, something unique about Shabbos. And midrabbanan, they tacked on that you have to use yayin, you have to use wine, in order to make the kiddush more significant. So that's clearly a din derabbanan, that wine has to be used. Midaraisa, this is an important point to take note of. Midaraisa, kiddush can be said just by saying the words, just by highlighting the uniqueness of Shabbos. Midrabbanan, they said, that in order to make the kiddush more meaningful, it has to be done over a cup of wine. So the Sefer Achinuch comes up with a question, where do they dream of this idea of drinking a cup of wine? You want to make Kiddush, and you want to enhance the Kiddush, to say, you should say the Kiddush, B'rovam Hadras Melech, you should make Kiddush every Friday night with all the family around and with the whole community together, maybe that's one thing, but what's the enhancement of the Kiddush to say it on a cup of wine? What does that add to the bracha that I'm making to the Kedusha of Shabbos? So explains the Sefer HaChinuch, a very psychological understanding. It's just an understanding of human nature. He says, Mishrashe Mitzvah Zu, part of the foundations of this mitzvah are kadeshan is orer mitoch maisa zeh, in order that from making the kiddush we should remind ourselves zecher gedulas hayom. We should remind ourselves by making the kiddush how special and how unique Shabbos is. Don't just say it and then move on with life. Say it and take a moment to recognize the fact that Shabbos is a very distinct day. V'nikva b'libenu, says the Sefer HaChinuch, and we should use this as an opportunity to remind ourselves, emunas chidush ha'olam, that we believe ki sheish es yamim asah Hashem, says the Sefer HaChinuch, because that's the objective of Kiddush, to remind oneself of the fact that sheish es yamim asah Hashem, that this is the reason why we have a world, and this is Shabbos v'yinafesh on Shabbos. Therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, al kein nischayavnu lasos hamaisa al hayayin. Therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, we have an obligation, midrabbanan, to say the Kiddush over a cup of wine. Why? Lefisha teva ha'adam, he says, because human nature is that we all like to eat. Human nature is that we all like to eat. Not just Jews. All people in the world like to eat. And therefore, misorer bo harbe shehu soidu misameach. You want to figure out, how am I going to have an experience that I'll remember? The way to have an experience that will make an impact on you is, do it over a cup of wine, or do it in the context of a meal. That's the way to get people to come to anything. You bring food. So therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Ukvar Marti Lecha, and I've already reiterated this point, he says, Ki Lefi His Oros Ha'adam U'Maseu, based on the actions, the activities, the outward perspective that we have on a mitzvah, Yisbal El Hadvarim Le'olam. That is the way that we can make an impression on ourselves forever. So therefore, he says, Chazal understood, Shem HaPas Chaviv Ala Adam Yoser, therefore on Friday night, a person likes bread, and they prefer that over wine, Shei Kaddish Ala Pas, the halach is you're allowed to make Kiddush on bread instead of wine. How does that make sense? Ki Oz Mis'or Tivo Yoser, L'mashu Toiv, because by having the bread instead of having the wine, if you don't enjoy wine, so then the bread makes more sense, because the whole point of what we're trying to accomplish here is to make a lasting impression on the person. So if it's wine that makes you happy, so take the wine. If it's bread that makes you happy, so go ahead and use the bread. V'afal pi shebi'yitzias ayom lo amrukein. Aye, so now says the Sefer HaChinuch, I'm stuck with the problem, because when it comes to Havdalah, you don't have the option of using wine or bread. You only have the option of using wine. Bread is not an option. So he says, why is that the case? Ela shechivu lahavdil biyayin al kol panim, you always have to make Havdalah on wine. Gambazet sadku, he says, this is also a element of human nature. Ki heim zal gam hatara hashlema yivcharu la'olam berov. The Torah decided the rules, and the Chazal decided the rules based on most people. Ube emes, and the truth is, he writes, ki rov ha'olam yis'avu, most people have a taiva on Matzah Shabbos, b'shtia b'matzai Shabbos yosem in ha'achila. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch obviously didn't live in our times where we have pizza shops, and the first thing everybody needs to do the minute Shabbos is over is run to the pizza shop to get something to eat. So he says, most people have eaten three sudas on Shabbos, and they're so full, stuffed to the gills, now Matzah Shabbos comes around, who wants to eat anything else? And therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, because Chazal understood nobody wants to eat, so therefore they were koveya Matzah Shabbos, because rove people like to have wine instead of bread on Matzah Shabbos, therefore Havdalah has to be made. But the objective of all of this is that Havdalah and Kiddush should make a lasting impression on a person, and it's a moment for a person to think about what exactly it is that they're saying. So the Prima Gadim picks up on this idea. Says the Prima Gadim in his Psicha Koleles, now that we have a Gemara that says that really, midaraisa, a person can fulfill the obligation of Kiddush by just Kiddush Bidvarim, just by saying the words, that's good enough. However, midarabanan, they tacked on this new obligation that not only do I have to say the Kiddush, but I have to say it over a cup of wine, I have to enhance the Kiddush in some way and make it a more meaningful experience. Says the Prima Gadim, if a person chooses just to be Mikadosh Bidvarim and they neglect the cup of wine, they choose not to use a cup of wine, not because of an onus, I don't have wine, but because I choose, I don't want to use wine, says the Prima Gadim, you're not in fulfillment of your obligation of Kiddush, not just of the obligation of Kiddush Midirabbanan, but you're not even in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Zacharias Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, which is a tremendous Kiddush. Prima Gadim writes that even though the Torah itself says you can be Mekayim the mitzvah just by saying the words without the cup of wine, says the Prima Gadim, once the Chachamim told you how to perform the mitzvah properly, once they tacked on that halacha that you're supposed to use wine, if you neglect to use the wine on purpose, not because some problem happened and there's a shortage of wine in the town or there's bread this week, but because you choose not to use wine, says the Prima Gadim, not only are you in violation of the mitzvah midrabanan, but you're not even in fulfillment of the mitzvah midaraisa itself. It's a tremendous chiddush, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about it tonight because it has extreme relevance to our sugya about being mevatel the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, so hold on to that point, but just keep it in the back of your mind as we move through the sugya. So this is not only the Prima Gadim's chiddush, this is also the chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, and he says, if a person chooses not to say the nusach of kiddush that we all were taught to say by Chazal, you are not in fulfillment of anything. It means you have not fulfilled the mitzvah midaraisa of kiddush on Shabbos. So this is a tremendous chiddush, but both the Prima Gadim and the Minchas Chinuch base their chiddush not on their own idea, but they base it on a passage of Tosas and Maseches Sukkah. Tosas has a famous comment in the beginning of Maseches Sukkah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosas says over there that we have a gzeira that the Gemara discusses, that a person shouldn't sit Rosh HaVeruba B'Sukkah, I shouldn't sit most of my body in the Sukkah, V'Shulchana B'Sukkah HaBayis, and have my table inside the house. Why? Says the Gemara, because we're concerned. Shema Yimashech HaShulchana. What's going to happen? Person is going to start sitting in their chair and eating and taking the food into the sukkah. But then after a while, the food is going to be inside the house because it's on the table. I'm going to forget. I'm going to end up eating inside the house instead of eating in the sukkah. Therefore, says the Gemara, you can't have such a setup like that. You have to have Rosh HaVerubo Vishulchana. You have to have a table together with your chair and yourself in the sukkah in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, if you didn't do that, Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. Says the Gemara, you have never fulfilled your obligation of sukkah. So Tosfos picks up on that terminology. What do you mean? You've never fulfilled your obligation of sukkah? I'm sitting in the sukkah. What's wrong? If I go against the Takanos Chachamim that I'm not supposed to have my table inside of the house when I'm eating in the sukkah, I've not fulfilled my obligation of sukkah. I have. I just violated the Din D'Rabbanan of not having a table inside. So Tosfos says, no. What it means is, once the Chacham defined how the mitzvah is supposed to be performed, if a person chooses not to do it in that way, you have not even fulfilled the obligation on the level of the Araisa. That's the Chiddush of Tosfos, and there, from there, extrapolate the Minchas Chinuch and the Prima Gadim to Kiddush. That once the Chacham defined how Kiddush is supposed to be said over a cup of wine and with a very specific text, if a person chooses not to do that, they're in violation of the mitzvah Saseh, the Araisa of Kiddush. They have not even fulfilled that. Yeah. Oh, so liquor and wine is considered to be in some way similar. It's a good question where liquor comes from and what the story is. Is it really acceptable? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, if I'm not mistaken, writes that if a person chooses to use liquor, so then they have to have a revius of liquor, which most people, I think, are probably not so careful about. But they say that one time, I think Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was stuck. All he had was liquor. He didn't have any wine in the house, so he poured a whole cup of schnapps into the Kiddush cup and drank the whole thing. He said he's supposed to drink the whole cup of wine, so you have to drink the whole cup of liquor. So that was him. I think most people don't assume that way. But that's an interesting question for when we're talking about Kiddush. It's not so much relevant to this. So that's where we're starting off. We have the Kiddush of the Tosfos and Masechah Sukkah by somebody who chooses to neglect the Din D'Rabbanan of Shulchan Abusoch HaBayis, where Tosfos says, Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah mi'anecha is to be taken literally. You haven't fulfilled anything, not even the mitzvah d'Araisa. Then we have the Prima Gadim and the Minchas Chinuch take it to Kiddush as well. So here goes Rav Asher Weiss. La'anias daiti, yesh ladin tuva b'maskanas divrayim. So, as he often does, takes on the Minchas Chinuch and the Prima Gadim. And he has a major issue with what they're suggesting. Why? La'avaras advarim yesh lahaktim b'ir divrayat tosa sham. So he said, in order to appreciate what I'm about to say, and again, I know I'm going up against the great Gedolei Acharonim, I want to explain in context how I have the right to go against them. How can Tosfos even say such a thing in the first place? How can Tosfos say that if you don't follow the rules that the Chachamim instituted, that means you haven't even fulfilled the mitzvah d'Araisa itself? How can that be? Yes, it's true, we know the Chachamim have the ability to institute new halachos. Umetzuvim kol b'nei Yisrael alechas la'oram shenemar lo sasser. Yes, we as a community have an obligation to go along with them. Very contemporary discussion for those who are following on Facebook or anywhere else. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Mikamakam, minale diyesh biyadam levatil dvar davar min haTorah velomer al mitzvah haTorah she'ena mitzvah. You have a right as the Chacham to come along and say, we think you should do this, or we think you should not do that. But you have a right as the Chacham to say that the whole mitzvah d'Araisa doesn't even apply, and if I go ahead and I perform the mitzvah d'Araisa, it's as if I haven't done anything? How did that happen? Who gave you the power to do that? You can tell me to hold myself back from performing the mitzvah d'Araisa under these circumstances. You can tell me not to blow shofar in this kind of case when it falls out on Shabbos, but to tell me that if I go ahead and perform the mitzvah, it's as if I've done nothing? How can that be? Ube'ezek koach yasukein. Ella, he says, Shalachar Matsini Yisod Zebedivri HaRishonim, Ubatla Datena Ludaitam HaRachava. We already find this in the Rishonim. And hey, if the Rishonim say that, how can we argue with the Rishonim? The Rishonim or the Rishonim? Dihine Melvad Divri HaTosis Besuka Sham, Shekasu Lehedio Daafta Raisa Lokium. Yes, Tosis writes, as we just mentioned, Tosis writes in Masechah Sukkah that if a person has the Shulchan inside of the house, they're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sukkah at all. And that's what the Megadim and the Minchas Chinuch quote. Gam came midivri atosus bebrachos. Tosus and brachos writes the same thing. And pay attention to the case here. Brachos daf yud aleph. Imasa kedivri beishamai dihita v'yikra lo asa v'lo klum. The Gemara has a disagreement between beishamai and beisilo. Beishamai says, b'shach b'chavu kumecha means when a person says kriyashma at night, they have to actually be laying down. Beisilo says, no. It doesn't mean b'shach b'cha when you're laying down. It means when it's the time of evening that people go to sleep. So the Gemara says, we paskin like beisilo. And the Gemara comments there that if a person does like Beis Shammai, lo asav lo klum, if you lay down specifically while you're saying the Kriya Shema in Ma'ariv, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So what does it mean? Does it mean you went against the Psak of Beis Hillel? Or does it mean you haven't even fulfilled the mitzvah d'Araisa of Zechir Sitzias Mitzrayim Balayla? of Kabbalas al Malchus Shamayim. How do you understand that statement of the Gemara, La'asav aloklum? Tosa says, Taharei lokiya mitzvah kriyashma. You have not fulfilled the obligation of kriyashma. Which is similar to what Tosas writes here by Sukkah. So we have number one, Tosas writes by Sukkah this idea. Tosas number two by Kriyashma says, if you don't listen to the opinion of Beis Hillel, you have not fulfilled Kriyashma at all. Tosas number three, I'm sorry, Rabbeinu Yonah's number three, first Mishnah Maseches Brachos writes, even though you really should have Minat Torah, the opportunity to say Kriyashma all night long, because that's when people are sleeping. But the Chacham were concerned if you're going to leave it over until the latest time, you're going to forget about it. You're going to neglect. Which reminds me, I didn't say Kiddush Levana yet. Someone was talking to me on Matzah Shabbos. I didn't have a chance. Anyone who didn't, we should go outside afterward. So if a person... There is no Levana? Such a beautiful night. Okay, we'll try again tomorrow. So here says Rabbeinu Yonah, don't be like Schechter who just pushes it off. Don't allow someone to talk to you instead of saying Kiddush Levana, says the Gemara, because that's going to happen every night. Someone's going to catch you after Marav or before your Marav, and you're not going to get around to saying Kriyashma. If we don't make a deadline that Chatzos is the time you have to say it by, you're not going to have the chance to say Kriyashma at all. You're going to forget about the whole thing. Therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Im lo karad Chatzos, not only did the Chacham say Midrabanan, we hold that you should say Kriyashma by Chatzos in order to make sure you end up saying it, but im lo karat chatzos, if you don't say it before that time, eino kore achakach. You're not allowed to do it afterwards. De patru chacham legamri, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Va'af mitzvah daraisa ein bazeh. If a person goes ahead at 3 o'clock in the morning and realizes I forgot to say kriyashma and I forgot to daven ma'ariv, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you're not even in fulfillment of the mitzvah daraisa, even though the mitzvah daraisa was that you can say kriyashma all night long. Still, the chachamim basically redefine the parameters of the mitzvah. Once they redefined it, the original mitzvah daraisa doesn't apply in its context at all. So that's the chiddush of Tosas number one in Brachos, Tosas number two in Sukkah, Rabbeinu Yonah number three in Maseches Brachos as well. And because
Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't hold that as a gesher. He doesn't hold that the issue of chatzos.
It is a gether. The Gemara says it's a gether.
Right, saying so. And a gether
that's what he says. Once the Chacham said that you're not allowed to do it past here because we want to make sure that you say it on time, Rabbeinu Yonah takes it so far as to say, and even if you come home late and you realize afterward, you're not even mekayim the mitzvah, which is a big chiddush. So here he writes, and he calls Zendira, from all this you see, you see that probably the Minchas Chinuch and the Pri Megadim are correct. That when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos, if a person chooses not to say Kiddush the way that Chazal told you to say it, you're not even in fulfillment of the mitzvah of the Daraisa at all. So now, here goes. Ach b'emes, says Rav Asher Weiss, Malvad hakoshi b'svara b'sharash hadavar. He says, I find this very hard to understand. Number one, deminale uve'ezek koach yicholim Chazal lakar din Torah. Where do they get this ability to just get rid of the mitzvah? They have the ability to redefine how you should perform it and to put parameters in the way of how you're supposed to do the act that you're asked to do, but they don't have the ability to get rid of the mitzvah legami. And he says, if this is true, the argument that the Rishonim are making, Yis'oru lefizet tile tilim shel kushus utmios, we're going to have major problems in many other areas of halacha. For example, he says, De'atu kol psul derabanan beget uvekidushin mevat lasan af legabi din Torah. The Chacham put a lot of things in the way of exactly how a get is supposed to be written. It should be written on this kind of paper, with this kind of ink, and with that. So let's say somebody has a get, and they've been divorced for 20 years, and now we uncover, we find out, that the get was written, there was a psul midrabanan. What are you going to say? Now it's as if you're not divorced? It's as if you're still married? All the kids you had in the interim are mamzerim? Is that really what it means? V'chein ba'afrashas truma. When it comes to afrashas truma, the Chacham said exactly how you're supposed to be ma'afrashas truma. A person who chooses not to do it that way. So you'll say he's in violation of the din derabanan of being ma'afrashas truma the way you're supposed to. What are you going to tell me? Everything I'm eating is tevel. I'm chay misa b'dei shamayim. Is that possible? Is that really what it means? U'kvar tamu b'zeh ha'achronim. He says, how can you say such a thing? So here comes his chiddush. V'nir b'zeh. So this is a classical piece of Rav Asher Weiss. Why is it classical? Because he points out the issues, and then he makes the yesod. He suggests that, I'm not going to say anybody's wrong here. All I'm going to say is that we're misunderstanding what the Rishonim said. So here we go. Benir Bazet. Derak b'makam shetiknu chazal l'migdar milsa, v'lasos harchaka l'yisr ha'torah. The only time that Tosas and Rabbeinu Yonah and the other Rishonim said that the Chachamim had the ability to get rid of a mitzvah by the definition that they gave to how one is supposed to perform that mitzvah, that's only in a situation where we're talking about a din derabanan which was instituted l'migdar milsa, as a safeguard. So then, batel legamri mitzvah satorah kishanaseh kelo tikun chazal. Take for example, kriya shema balayla. The Chachamim set up as a safeguard, we don't want you to miss this man and forget about kriya shema, so we said, you have to say kriya shema by chatzos. Why they do that? Because they were concerned, if you don't say kriya shema by chatzos, you're going to forget about the whole thing. So in a case like that, Rabbeinu Yonah argues, the Chachamim wanted to make sure that that safeguard is going to be in place, so the way to make sure that that's going to be in place is by telling you that if you do the mitzvah afterward, you have no points at all. We got rid of the mitzvah. Because the whole reason why we instituted this halacha was in order to strengthen the din d'oraisa itself, in order to make sure that you perform it. Is that clear? So that's what he's saying. The only cases that we find in the Rishonim, again, what were the cases? The only cases that we find in the Rishonim are what? A case of sukkah. What's the case of sukkah? The Torah says, you should sit in the sukkah 7 days. Now the Chacham were concerned, if a person's going to have their table inside of the house, you're not going to do the mitzvah of sukkah, because you're going to end up eating in your house, you're going to fret about the sukkah. So the Chacham put up a safeguard, they put up a geder, in order that we shouldn't violate the original din d'araisa of sitting in the sukkah. So there says the Rishonim, there says Tosas and Masechah Sukkah, that if a person chooses not to listen to the safeguard of the Chachamim, so we pull that all the way back and we say, you haven't even fulfilled anything. Because the whole reason why they put this Din D'Rabbanan into play was to hold you back from violating the Din D'Araisa. So they, because they were trying to strengthen the Din D'Araisa, we take it so far as to say, once we set up the parameters of the Halacha D'Araisa, that means that if you don't follow that, you're out. It's as if you've done nothing. But stamaza in a regular case, hafrash is trumo or by get or something else, where the chacham made a halacha, they made a din. Not a gzera, not a gether for anything, not a safeguard. They just said the get should be written this way or not that way or whatever it might be. They decided what the definition of the halacha is, how exactly to draw the parameters of the din and how exactly to write a get. In a case like that, we wouldn't say that if there's apostles midirabanan, it means they're still married midaraisa. Oh, so that's the problem that we're going to have. So, b'shach b'chav k'macha, that's the problem. Because Tosas writes over there that if you listen to Beis Shammai and you lay down when you say Kriya Shema, you're not even in fulfillment of the din of Kriya Shema at all. Why not? That's not a gether. That's just a din d'rabbanan. So 1 second. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. No, that was the Kriya Shema one, but there was a third case that we had. Tosas quoted a third case in Brachos where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have machlokas. B'shach b'chav k'macha, what does it mean? Beis Shammai says, lay down when you say Kriya Shema at night. The Gemara says, if you listen to Beis Shammai, lo yatsa yidei chavaso. Tosas says, what does it mean, lo yatsa yidei chavaso? Even the mitzvah d'araisa of Kriya Shema you haven't fulfilled. That's not a gether. That's not a safeguard at all. So how do you explain that case? That's a very good question that we're going to get to. So now look at the next paragraph. V'chol, look at the other side. Uvachal hanu dini shematzina b'divrei harishonim. All these cases that we find in the Rishonim where they discuss this idea that the Chachamim were able to actually get rid of a din d'araisa, the Chazal akru mitzvah min haTorah legamri. That's only ma'iri b'gzeres shegazru Chazal b'hachaka l'divrei Torah. That's only in a case where the Chachamim set up a din just as a hachaka, as a safeguard. Kigon hadu sukkah, like the case of sukkah. That's Xerah Shami Mashachacha Shachana. We're afraid maybe you're going to sit inside the house instead of sitting inside of the sukkah. Vahadereish Brachos, in this case of Brachos, by saying Kriyashma before Chatzos, Xerah Shami Yivshava Yivata Kriyashma Legamri. Vahadisadam Mitzitzis, that's a different case. Okay, we won't get into that. Ava B'Takana Ba'alma, look at the end of the line, by Takana, which is not set up as a safeguard, it's just a Dindarabanan on its own. Eira de Tiknu Chazal Levata Legamri Mitzvah Satorah. The Chachamim wouldn't take their case that far and say, oh, by every time we instituted a Din D'Rabbanan, that means that now the Din D'Araisa is out. V'ulai ein zeh b'kocham klal, maybe they don't have the ability to do that. The only time they have the ability to get rid of a Din D'Araisa is when the safeguard that they set up was just a Gzeirah mid'Rabbanan to help you from violating the Din D'Araisa. Okay? So now let's go to the next case. And basically, Rav Asher Weiss is arguing, he thinks it's an inappropriate jump of the Minchas Chinuch and the Pri Megadim. Why? because they made a big leap of faith. They said, not only do we find the Rishonim talking about it by Kriya Shema and by Sukkah, but we jump also to the case of what? Kiddush. And we say if a person doesn't say Kiddush on the cup of wine, it's as if you haven't made Kiddush at all. Why not? That's not a Gzeira Midrabanan. That's not a safeguard for anything. That's just a Takana Derabanan. That's a din that the Rabbanan instituted. What's the best way to go ahead and observe the mitzvah of Kiddush? So in a case like that, he argues, the Rishonim never would have said such a thing. And that's why he thinks that the Menchas Chinuch and the Prima Gadim perhaps are not correct in saying that even in a case like Kiddush, you wouldn't be in fulfillment of your mitzvah. Okay, so now let's go a little bit further. Go to the last paragraph here, Lefizeh Nireh. And according to my Kiddush, it would seem, B'Kiddush Shalo Ala Kosa Shalo B'Nusach Shetiknu Chazal, if you try to transfer that whole discussion into the case Kiddush, Dibivada Yatzei Dechavasa Menat Torah, against the Prima Gadim, you certainly are Mekai in the mitzvah. Why? Yes, you violated the din d'rabbanan. You didn't do what you were supposed to. Fine, you get some makas maradis, you get whatever you want. God's going to punish you for that. But you can't say I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. That can't be. So now he says, I'm a little bit stuck. Because I have that case in Brachas Daf Yud Aleph, like was pointed out. What did we have there? Tosis writes over there that if a person goes ahead and says Kriya Shema like Beis Shammai, laying down, Lo kiyamta mitzvahs kriya shema, you haven't been mekayim the mitzvah. Harei hasam lahav gzeira klal, he says, over there, that's a case of a din d'rabbanan, which is not a gzeira, it's not a safeguard at all. It just says, we paskin like b'shil, not like b'shamay, and yet Tosa says, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. V'adurabah, harei hasam havi b'shil l'kula, t'kari k'daka v'uhichmer k'b'shamay, d'yata b'kore. V'afal pikin they also klum, so why are you telling me I didn't do anything? Why are you saying I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of kriya shema? Listen to what he says here, b'ms. La ra'isi sham remez de chazal bitlu es ha-mitzvah shalo yikayim mitzvah min ha-Torah. Menchas Chinuch and the Prima Gadim misread the Tosus. Tosus never said that, in his opinion. He says Tosus never said that. Why Tosus never say that? All Tosus said is lo kasve ela de lo asaklum midrabanan. All Tosus says is, you're not following what the Chacham outlined for the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Not that you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah midaraisa, and he contrasts it to the Lashon HaTosis in Sukkah. When Tosis in Masechah Sukkah writes, because you didn't listen to the Chacham, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah at all, he says, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah daraisa at all. Over here, Tosis doesn't say that. Tosis doesn't say that, and therefore he says, velo hizkiru shaf mitzvah daraisa ein lo, kederach shakasa b'sukkah. You go up and look at Tosis in Sukkah later on, you'll see that the terminology in Sukkah is not the same as it is in Brachas Daf Yud Aleph, and therefore he says, the whole thing is a mistake. The whole thing is a mistake. So he says the Menchas Chinuch and the Prima Gadim read into the Tosis and Brachas. Again, it's something that makes sense. They're just putting it together with the other Tosis and the other Masechta. It makes sense. But Rav Asher Weiss says, no. Once you say that fundamentally, the only time the Rishonim would make such an argument is by a Din D'Rabbanan, which is a Gzeira, which is a safeguard. So then you can say there's a good reason why Tosis didn't add those extra words in Brachas, because that doesn't fit into the case. That doesn't fit into all these cases. No, these are the only cases. These are the only cases. And in fact, even in Maseches Sukkah, all the other Rishonim disagree with the Balei HaTosis. They don't agree with him at all. But according to Tosis himself, the Menchas Chinuch says, we should argue that by Kiddush it should be the same. Rav Asher Weiss says, no, it's an inappropriate way of using Tosis Chiddush, because Tosis only said it by a Geder, by a Harchaka. He never said it by Stam Eni Din D'Rabbanan. Ah, you'll ask me, like the Menchas Chinuch raises, you'll ask me, how does Tosis say it in Brachos? By Hita V'Kori, by laying down and saying the Kriya Shema, like Beis Shammai instead of Beis Hillel, the answer is Tosis never said that. So again, in my opinion, this is why I was turned on to Rav Asher Weiss. Because you have here somebody who's able to take all the sugyas, all the Rishonim, all the Tosis in different places, and have a broad understanding of what kind of fundamental yisod we can make from all that we're seeing. And at the same time, not to be afraid that the Prima Gadim quotes the Tosis. Maybe if you read the Tosis carefully, there's another way to read it. Maybe there's another way to understand it. But yeah. Isn't there a machlokus in the Gemara between Beis Shammai and Hillel? How you learn Shat B'Shat B'Kovacha? Therefore, if that looks like this Hillel, then you're not being kind of possible for the pasuk. No, but I could have argued. It's true that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing how exactly to interpret the pasuk. But I could have argued, what do you lose by doing like Beis Shammai? I'm not doing any less. I'm doing more. No, but I'm doing more. If you hold the pasuk was like Beis Shammai that you have to lay down, and you choose to do like Beis Hillel and sit up. So then you say, I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But over here,
specifically, this bisman, not lying down.
So you do bisman, but you do it lying down. The Gemara says if I do it at the right time, lying down.
If you have to be lying down, fine, there's no problem. But here, Beis Shammai says he specifically...
Like, so what's wrong, right? What's wrong with doing that? I'm just doing more. I'm not doing less.
That's not
so what's wrong? What's wrong? I didn't lose anything.
Maybe,
I'm still...
Well, it's not specific mitzvah of Krishna. I mean, maybe it's an issue with what to do, or avoiding that. Maybe you can say that the
No, the Gemara's case is talking about an individual who went ahead and did that. He said, on my own, I decided to be machmer like Beis Shammai, not with anybody else. And they said to him, oh, look, yamta mitzvah kriyishma. So what do you mean? They didn't want it to start getting out of control?
Yeah.
Could be.
Isn't there an example in Brachos where, I think, Tarfon maybe was lying down and the other rabbi sat up
to counter him.
Yeah. So the one that lied down would be a wazakum.
That's what the Gemara is commenting on. The Gemara said to him that you didn't do anything because you're not following the halacha.
I thought the only reason the other one sat up is to make sure everyone
knew the halacha.
You could do either way.
So that's what the question is. Okay. That's exactly what the issue is here. Yeah. Yeah. That's the Gemara's kasha on him. How was he allowed to do that?
Right, no.
The Gemara asks, how did he go against Beis Hillel?
He was Mekayim the Mitzvah also.
That's exactly the Gemara's kasha. That's the sugya. Where the Gemara says, you haven't been Mekayim the Mitzvah if that's the way you did it. That's exactly what we're mentioning. That's the Gemara doesn't say Minatara. The Gemara says you haven't been Mekayim the Mitzvah. And the Achronim understand that Tosfos says you haven't been Mekayim the Mitzvah midaraisa. Perhaps there's another way of understanding it. That's the question here. So now, with all that in mind, let's get back to our Gemara. It's important for our Gemara because our Gemara says we have Gzeira Midrabanan. They made a hachaka that what? That you're not allowed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos because we're concerned maybe a person is going to violate the Isra of Hotzah on Shabbos. Maybe you're going to carry it outside, Dalet Amos, and you'll violate the din of carrying something outside on Shabbos. So now, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, what happens in the following case? Look at number Dalet. Let's say you have somebody who decides, you know what, I don't care about those rabbis. We have people like that today as well. And you have people who say, I don't care what they say. I'm going to blow the shofar. What do I care what they have to say? I, the Chacham, made a din. You're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalias B'Shabbos. It doesn't matter. What do I care what they have to say? I'll do what I want. Have you even fulfilled the mitzvah d'oraisa in that case? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Kiyum mitzvah shofar bizmano. You have fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar. Ela da'avar al shvus b'shabbos. You have violated the isur d'rabbanan of blowing shofar on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is basically weighing in on the issue. What does he say? A person, when you have a situation where a Shoshanah Shechalis b'shabbos, the Gemara says clearly you're not allowed to blow the shofar mid'rabbanan. On a level of d'raisa, you're certainly allowed to. It's Rosh Hashanah. But yet the Chacham said you're not allowed to. So now what does it mean? What does it mean you're not allowed to? Does it mean if I go ahead and I do it, I get nothing? Like some Achronim say. Let's say I go ahead and I blow shofar today, and then tomorrow or Sunday I'm going to blow shofar again, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Do I make a Shechiyanu the second day?
Why should it be different than
it depends. If I've already fulfilled my mitzvah on the first day, just I would violate an Issa D'Rabbanan, so you'll say, of course you should make Shechiyanu the second day. Right? Did I say it the right way? The other way. I'm sorry, I said it backwards. If you have done nothing, if the Chacham's harchaka here means it's as if you haven't blown the shofar at all, if you went ahead and violated what they said, so then the second day when you go ahead and blow shofar, you should say Shechiyanu. But if we're talking about a situation where, yes, of course you fulfilled your mitzvah d'oraisa, it's just you violated Nisa d'Rabbanan, so then the second day you don't make Shechiyanu, you did it already.
What are we going to say?
What?
When the 2 days of Shoshana without Shechiyanu, you make Shechiyanu the second.
Right. Meaning we make Shechiyanu anyway both days. Al tzveke di yoma. Yoma richta, whatever we say. Yeah. Oh, so what are they talking about? That's a good question.
Second day Rosh Hashanah,
we always make Shechiyanu.
Yeah. And everything.
I don't know. In Shulchan Aruch, the Marshal in Shulchan Aruch quotes this suffix.
Because it's the same thing as Yantav Sheni. It's a Rabbanan Yantav.
Maybe it's talking about a thing.
Right.
Not just on candlelight. You say Shechiyanu at Tkiyat Shofar, right?
Correct.
So you only make that on the day that you blow.
No, but we have the practice we make Both days.
Yeah.
So what about, that's a good example. What about lulav? What about lulav? The Gemara says you're not allowed to shake lulav on Sukkot that falls out on Shabbos. We only make Shechiyanu the first day. Let's say first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. You go ahead and you shake the lulav, you made a Shechiyanu. Would you go the second day and make a Shechiyanu again?
You weren't entitled to shake the lulav in the first day.
Oh, that's a question. On a level of Daraisa, I was entitled. On the level of Darabanan, I was not entitled. So that's a question. If I went ahead and I did it, is it as if I performed my mitzvah and just violated Nisa Darabanan? Or is it as if I've done nothing?
The same thing. You take 2 days, both days, you make Shechiyanu. By lulav,
by lulav, we don't.
Right.
By lulav, we don't.
But wouldn't that only apply on a Malkum Torah and a Malkum Mitzvah?
That what?
The Shavuos. In other words.
That what?
Wouldn't you only be, if you blow the shofar on the first day,
which is Shabbos,
so you're over Nisr Daraisa.
No, you're over Nisr Darabanan. The question is, have you even fulfilled the mitzvah Daraisa or not?
If you're chatzar and you do it anyway, are you yielding? Can you get any credit?
That's the question. Right. That's the question. So that's what we're dealing with. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, no problem, you fulfilled the mitzvah. And this is why we spoke last week. That's why I thought it was important to have that introduction. We spoke last week about the major controversy of Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger and the Aderas and the Stechemet. Everyone's fighting about whether or not they should have Tkiyah Shofar Mashana Shechalis B'Shabbos in the beginning of the 1900s. So those who were opposed to it said, maybe we'll go and listen behind the window of the shul and we'll go, once they're doing it anyway, they're the Avaryanim, they're the ones blowing the shofar, but at least I may as well not lose out. Question is, no! Maybe you have nothing to gain at all. Maybe you have nothing to gain at all, because if you accept the opinion of the Bali Atosis and the Rabbeinu Yonah, we should say perhaps that if a person goes ahead and does something that they weren't supposed to do, midrabanan, you haven't even fulfilled Tkiyah Shofar. So why should the Adera schlep to go listen to the shofar if, after all, he's not going to perform anything? No, it means you went against the Chacham, you're going to be punished for that. But we don't also say that you haven't done anything. The Torah is the Torah. I would have said the first way. I would have said, the Torah is absolute. The Torah is here. The Chacham want to come and make frills and do whatever they want. You can do whatever you want.
The mitzvahs aren't just like, oh yeah, I did this thing. No, it's in the context of an overall
everything else,
framework,
right?
Everything else.
It's fascinating that they can just push it aside.
I think both sides are very interesting to consider. And that's why I think this is a very important issue to think about. So let's say, take for example, the Chalkas Yoav. Chalkas Yoav was the preeminent Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. So the Chalkas Yoav, we're going to skip out of the interest of time. Here in number A, the Avnei Nezer writes the same as Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that if a person goes ahead, Rosh Hashanah, Shechalis, B'Shabbos, and blows shofar, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar, just you're going to have to make up for the Aveira violating the Dindir Rabbanan of this Shavus B'Shabbos. So the Chalkas Yoav wrote a beautiful sefer called Kaba de Kashyaisa. Kaba de Kashyaisa is, Kaba is a Rosh, is not a Rosh Tevis, it's a, it adds up to, what do you call that?
Gematria,
thank you. Kaba is Kuf Beis Aleph, is 103. So the Kaba de Kashyaisa is a sefer that the Chalkas Yoav wrote, that he said he had 103 questions that he couldn't find an answer to. They're the most geschmacker questions ever. And each one of them you have to know like 150 Gemaras to actually appreciate, but he laid the whole thing out. It's amazing. And now there's Reb David Mandelbaum, who wrote the Parus Yosef, who wrote, you know, probably 40, 50 Svarim on his own. So Reb David Mandelbaum put out a 3-volume set of the Kaba de Kashyaisa, where he sent every one of those questions to every, you know, Rosh Hashiva and Eretz Yisrael, asking them, do you have any answers? And then he printed all the answers, and then he argues on them, so it keeps on growing and growing. And now the Talaner Rebbe wrote his thing, Tena de Kashyaisa. He has, Tena is how many? Is 60. Tes, Nun, Aleph, is Tena de Kashyaisa. So he has 60 kashas that he thinks are unanswerable, so he put out a new kuntras of his own. So this seems to be the style. It's a great sefer to write, because it means everyone's going to want to comment on what you have to say, because if you think you have such a good question, and I think I'm so smart to answer your question, so I'll write a sefer to rebut your question. So that's why the Chalkas Yoav was not only a genius in the kashas he thought of, but in coming up with the idea in the first place. So the Chalkas Yoav has in there Kushya Tzadi test. This the 99th question that he has is Ra'isi Davar Temuel Agon Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He says, I find something very troubling in Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The Pshita Lei im taka shofar b'shabbos after avraham shvus mikamakam mitzvah neskayim b'di'evet. How could it be? Avam me'od lepela agon kamosa. How could it be that you say such a thing? Sheyamar davar kazev elam ibay the tosis reish sukkah shakasva. Don't you know tosis writes that if a person violates a din derabanan and they don't go along with the parameters that the chacham set for the din derabanan, you have not fulfilled the din deraisa either. So the chalkas yoav finds this very troubling. He doesn't understand why is this going against this whole hala of tosis that he lays out. So this is something that we have to think about when we consider this halacha of blowing shofar on Shabbos and how exactly to approach it. So let's just close with one final point. The Chalkas Yoav, I think, asks a kasha, which is also a very interesting question, in the context here of his weighing in on this issue, whether or not a din derabanan takes away from the din d'oraisa, and whether you get points for doing anything, he raises another issue. We have a Gemara Maseches Erev in Lamed Beis, where the Gemara has a machlokas. When we have dinim derabanan on Shabbos, when we have a shvus min derabanan, so the Chacham said you're not allowed to do something, let's say muksa or something like that. So do we say that that applies bein hashmashos or not? Let's say Amir la'akam is a shvus. Amir la'akam is an isur derabanan. It's not an isur deraisa. So do you say that there's an isur Amir la'akam even bein hashmashos at the end of Shabbos or at the beginning of Shabbos when Shabbos begins? It's a safek yom safek laila. Do you say that the shvus?
Shvus
to shvus is not mutter. Only when it's a big emergency. But let's say stamazai, Amir la'akam, I want to ask someone to do something for me. So would we allow that or not? So the Gemara has a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Yeah. So that's the question. So the Gemara has a disagreement between Rebbe and the Chacham. Do we assume that the Gzeiros Midrabanan apply ben Hashmashos, or do you assume no? Like Rashi explains over there. This is the psak that we have. We assume the Dinim Derabanan do not apply ben Hashmashos because how far do we have to go? Ben Hashmashos in the first place is a Safek Yom Safek Laila. We're not even sure if it's Shabbos. Now you're going to place on top of that an Issa Derabanan when you're not even sure if it's Shabbos at all. So Rashi says that's why we have the psak that we don't assume that shvusim apply during ben hashmashos of Shabbos. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that if it's any sort of makom mitzvah, or if a person's going to be mitzdayer, or if it's a tzarech gadol, so we assume you're allowed to go ahead and violate the isra of amir la'akum. For example, the Mishnah Berurah gives an example which is interesting to note on its own. Mishnah Berurah writes, let's say before yantif, when you're going to say yisker, the practice is most people light a yahrzeit candle. So he says, what if you forgot? Mishnah Berurah says that's already a tzarech gadol, because that bothers people. That bothers people, that I was supposed to light the yahrzeit lichel and I forgot all about it. It's going to take away from my simchas yantav. I think that my parents aren't going to have an aliyas neshama. It's probably not the case, but again, it bothers people's onig yantav, onig Shabbos, whatever it might be. So therefore we assume, says the Mishnah Berurah, that would be a good enough tzarech, and we would allow a person to go ahead and ask a nachri to light the yahrzeit lichel during ben hashmashos. If it's yantav already, that's not allowed, but if it's ben hashmashos, that would be permissible. So ask the Chalkas Yoav as follows. Such a brilliant kasha. He says, when we have Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, what's the reason why you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos? Because Gzeira Derabanan. We're concerned that maybe you're going to come to violate the Yisra of Hotzah. Ask the Chalkas Yoav, why don't we suggest that you do a Ben Hashmashos at the end of Rosh Hashanah? If the whole thing's just an Yisra Derabanan, and Rabbi Kiva Eger is correct, that if you go ahead and violate the Yisra Derabanan, you're still in fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa. So we would never tell a person l'chatchila to go and violate. But if you're saying that the mitzvah d'oraisa still applies and it's still there, so why don't we suggest to every person at the end of Rosh Hashanah, every shul, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, go ahead and blow the shofar at the end of Rosh Hashanah right before the shkia, during Ben Hashmashos. What? So b'mad avshach, if it's night, so you're not yotzeh, but you're not in violation of anything. If it's day, then you fulfill the mitzvah. What's wrong? It's a great idea. What?
But it's Shabbos.
So the only problem of Shabbos is the Yisra D'Rabbanan, but Ben Hashmashos, the Yisra D'Rabbanan doesn't apply.
Yeah, but what else he wants to go to take it to the outside?
So 1 second. So that's the kasha of the Chalkas Yoav. He says, must be Rabbi Kiva Eger is wrong. And it must be that if you violate the Yisra D'Rabbanan, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah at all, and therefore this is not an option. So it's a very questionable assumption because, number one, we allow a person to violate Yisurim D'Rabbanan, a shvus min derabanan ben hashmashos, right? So why don't we allow you? The kasha is still there. Whether or not Rabbi Kiva Eger is correct, the question should still be there. But more fundamentally, this is really dependent on something else. Let's say you have Purim falls out on Sunday, right? The question is, Are you allowed to read the Megillah Bein Hashmashos on Shabbos? Let's say everybody has to go. There's something going on, right? Not Stam Purim Chagiga. You have something right after Shabbos. It's important. People have to go. A doctor has to run to a shift. So he's not going to have time. If Purim would fall out on Shabbos, what's the halacha? You're not allowed to lay in the Megillah on Shabbos. Also, Gzeira Shemi Abi Renner, we're concerned maybe you're going to carry it. So what if Purim falls out on Sunday? And the doctor, Mamish, has to leave right away. He's not going to have a chance. Do we allow him, to Tzorach Gadol, do we allow him to go ahead and lay in the Megillah Bein Hashmashos of Shabbos, Mamad of Shach? Right? It's a Shvus Midrabanan. We should allow him to do the Shvus Midrabanan because it's a Tzorach Gadol and Logazru ala Shvusim Bein Hashmashos. So the Prima Gadim discusses it, and he says that what if you have a situation where a person, let's say Purim fell out on Erev Shabbos, and I realize that I haven't yet lain the Megillah, now we're in Makabel Shabbos, so now it's still Bein Hashmashos. Can I go ahead and lain the Megillah now? Right. I mean, so Sofik Darabon Lekula, you're not Mechuyiv. You're not Mechuyiv to go and lain the Megillah, but the Prima Gadim wants to know, if I want to lay in the Megillah, I missed out. I was on a shift in the hospital the whole day. I ran into Shabbos. Now I realize I forgot to lay in the Megillah. So can I do it now? So those two cases are not the same. Why are those two cases not the same? No. That's the difference. Tosfos and Megillah talks about it. Tosfos and Megillah talks about it in the following context. We have the practice that we blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. Are you allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos or Yantif? No, that's considered a Isser D'Rabbanan, Hashma's Kol. So Tosfos asks, how are you allowed to blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur? The answer is, it's Bein Hashmashos already. So the whole thing is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, and we're talking Bein Hashmashos at the end of Yom Kippur, so you don't have to be concerned. Tosfos asks the Kasha, I Gzeir Hashem Yavi Renu. Why aren't we concerned? Maybe you're going to carry it. What? So Tosfos gives two answers. Tosfos says, nope. Tosfos says in one answer that you're right. Really, we should be concerned of Shemi Yabi Renu. But Tosfos writes, the reason why we don't have to be concerned is because it's just one blowing of the shofar. You don't have to be an expert to know how to get that call out. Just at the end of Yom Kippur, you just make one tekiah and that's it. So he says, Shemi Yabi Renu doesn't apply there because there's nothing to be concerned about. No one's going to go to the expert to learn how to blow. Everybody knows how to do that. What do you see from Tosfos? Tosfos gives two answers there, but what do you see from Tosfos? You see that Tosfos assumes that had it been a real set of tekiyos, we would be concerned Shema Yavi Renu. Not because Shema Yavi Renu now, but Shema Yavi Renu during the afternoon of Yom Kippur when you realize you were the one who was singled out to do the tekiyos, you're going to say, oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. And on Yom Kippur afternoon, you're going to go Shema Yavi Renu. So too over here. Chalkas Yov asked the Kasha, why don't we say that a person should go ahead and blow the shofar at the very end of Rosh Hashanah? Why don't we say Ben Hashmashos? A Shvus Midrabanan doesn't apply Ben Hashmashos. Why don't you say a very good Eitzah? Let the person go ahead on Rosh Hashanah Shacholis B'Shabbos and blow the shofar at the very end Ben Hashmashos. The answer is no, because we still have a concern Shema Yavi Renu. If you know that you're the designated Baal Tokeya and you realize now halfway through the day on Rosh Hashanah, Ayvei, I forgot, I didn't practice, I don't know what I'm doing, you're still, there's a concern, maybe you're going to go ahead and run with the shofar to go learn how to do it. So that's why perhaps the Kasha of the Chalkas Yoav might not really be applicable because there's a very good reason, and we can parallel it to what Tosfos writes by the Tkiyah at the end of Yom Kippur because that is a very similar case to this case here. And you see the Baalei Tosfos agree there that Shema Yavi Renu would have been a concern not because Bein Hashmashos Shema Yavi Renu, but Shema Yavi Renu, maybe you're going to violate the Isser during the afternoon at Yom Kippur. Okay, Mirtz Hashem next.